All right. Hey, open up your Bible to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. As you're doing that, I just want to remind you about this evening. This evening, we're doing a worship night at our Murrysville campus worship night. And we had four of these through January. And we had one here just a few weeks ago. We had over 180 people here for a prophetic night. It was a great night. Amen. For those that were here, I know you enjoyed that. We're coming together. We're coming together because we got to remember that what we do is spiritual. And we don't come here for an intellectual moment. We come here for a spiritual moment. You're not just coming to get educated. You're coming to have an encounter with God. And we do these worship nights. The whole church comes together in one place where we worship God and we give him room to do what he wants to do. So tonight, said we're going to take a prolonged time worshiping the Lord in Murrysville. And then there's going to be prayer. There's going to be prayer for physical healing. There's going to be prayer offered for anyone looking for some prophetic, timely direction of God. There'll be prayer for people you're trying to reach with the hope of Jesus as we go into Easter season. And for a fresh infilling. You just want refreshed in God. All right? Anybody not need refreshed in God? No, we all need refreshed in God. So the thing is, what we want to remind you, though, it's spiritual. What we do is spiritual. And at times, as we go to church week after week, we can. It's so easy to make things an intellectual exercise, right? No, we come together. It's the presence and power of God. I came today to have an encounter with Jesus Christ, not just hear teaching. Amen? All right, that's what we want. That's why we give room for God to move the way that we believe he wants to move. So, again, if you can, take advantage of that. Take advantage, just like victory and freedom. Victory and freedom is a spiritual moment. And again, the next one will be coming up in the fall. We do them two or three times a year. And if you haven't been to one, why not? Why not? I appreciate, again, just Matt reminding us again of the line about, you know, again, your garage needs cleaned out. Okay, every 18 months. And some of you say, well, I don't have a garage. Don't mess with the metaphor, okay? Just take it. Just take it and get clean. Get clean. Okay, for your sake, for the people that love you's sake, get clean. Amen. All right. Hey, I told you last week we were done with being the Transform series. I lied. Okay. I really didn't lie. I forgot. And I'm at that age where I get away with that. So we are continuing with the Transform series. And, you know, one of the things I want us to catch, you know, everyone in here wants to know God's will. Every one of us is trying to discern what does God want me to do, right? I mean, as a pastor, the question I get asked more than anything is, how do I know it's God? How do I know it's God's voice and not just in my head? How do I know it's the Spirit speaking and not just me saying what I want, right? Again, how do I discern the voice of God? One thing I just want you need to catch is, look, you're going to know the voice of God as you allow him to transform you, to transform you. There is a process and a discipline that you need to walk in if you want to hear God clearly to be able to discern his voice. Okay, there's a process we go through. Let's look at Romans chapter 12. Again, this is the verse we have been opening up with most weeks. At least, maybe not when I was preaching, but most weeks, okay, during this series, we were talking about this scripture. Paul is speaking here, and he says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, okay, wholly acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be what? Transform. And again, by the renewing of your mind, that by testing, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. See, listen, God, we keep wondering, how do I hear God's voice? How do I know what he's speaking? How do I know what he's saying? Listen, it happens naturally. It's a natural byproduct of you allowing God to transform your life. He wants to transform you. You know, one of the problems we have in the Christianity, particularly even in churches like ours, we believe that God does want to speak and move freely in the Spirit, is that we think that God's always going to move like kind of like in a big bang way. Okay, bam, I'm just in church one day and I was worshiping and somebody said something and bam, I'm set free. I'm transformed. Doesn't usually happen that way, does it? Right? For those of us that have been serving God for a while, there is a process that happens. And if you don't work the process, You're typically not going to have lasting transformation. You're going to have a momentary reprieve, but not transformed. See, if we're going to walk in transformation, if you want to know the will of God in your life, you have to allow the transformation of your soul. God wants to have possession of you. Okay? And we keep looking for these, kind of spiritual shortcuts. Now, again, God does speak in the moment. He does, absolutely. I've had it happen to me many times. And I thank God for that grace on my life, right? That he just, at the time, right? Most of us have testimonies like, oh yeah, I was just in this moment and God spoke, right? And it could be something really big or something very trivial, but you know it was God. You know it was God. But listen, that's not the way he's training you. He's saying, I do want to give you direction. I want you to know my will. I want you to know clearly what I'm calling you to do. But it's not just going to happen in a moment. I want you to allow me to transform you into my image. I mean, remember, we got to remember what God's plan is here. His plan is to make Talisha look like him. Right? His plan is to make Ed look like him. That's the plan. That's the plan. Again, God wants to transform you into himself. Not just a better version of you. Okay, we've seen the better version of you. It's not good enough, okay? Right? He wants to transform you into himself. I mean, see, and again, that's one of those ones like, oh man, that sounds really, really good, but I don't believe it. See, and here's another problem we have. See, a lot of us, again, we profess faith, but when a push comes to shove, we don't believe it. He wants to make you into his image. He doesn't just want you to be better. He wants you to be ultimate. Amen? That's what he has. That's the plan he has for our lives. But again, but when will you catch this? You will know the will of God as you lay down your life. We've been talking about transformation. How's it happen? Relationships. We talked about that last week. Were you here? Who was here last week? Raise your hand. All right. How many of you have talked to someone to be your 10% person to tell you the stuff that you... Okay, I gave you till what? What did I say? St. Patrick's Day. You have till St. Patrick's Day. Okay, I'm concerned if you didn't do it already. All right. Let's do that. Why? Because if you're going to be transformed, you've got to have people close enough to you to tell you the truth. To tell you the truth that nobody else will tell you. And if you don't invite them in, if you don't tell them they have that access, don't assume that they know it. Right? Said, that's up to you. Invite people in. We got to invite people in here. I just want to encourage you, as you do these things, as we renew our minds, we're going to talk about God's revealed truth today. As you do these things, you're going to start to hear God clearer. You're going to have greater clarity. That's what happens. You start getting in this place of allowing God to transform you. Man, you're going to hear his voice. It's like, you know, if you study for a test, you pass. Right? How many found that out in school? Okay. It wasn't a secret. You know, if you get proper rest, you're refreshed in the morning. Okay. I mean, that's reality. If you do these things, there's an automatic byproduct that's going to happen. You know, again, it's by building this three-legged stool, right? That's what we talked about last week. This is a three-legged stool. You need all three of those happening. If you're not going to have all three, what happens? You fall down, i.e. you're not transformed. If you want transformation, if you're serious about going forward in God, you need all three of those. You need people, you need a renewing of your mind, you've got to have God's truth flowing in your life. We got to be operating and seeing the word of God. So you want clarity, this is how it's going to happen. But I want you, again, just catch this though, to know his will, renewing your mind, having relationship, knowing the word of God is inextricably connected. Inextricably, that's the word of the day. Inextricably, say inextricably. Okay, it's inextricably connected. Somebody's saying, what does that mean? That's not our typical North Side word, okay? But again, it's connected. You can't separate it. You can't separate it. If you're going to be transformed, you will know the will of God. That's what I believe. Because you're putting yourself, you're training yourself in righteousness. So right now, today though, we want to focus on this word of God, revealing God's truth. The power of the word, the necessity of the word. So let's pray. Father, we come before you. God, we thank you for this book. God, we thank you, Father, it does not change. Lord Jesus, we're asking right now, Father God, open us up that we would be refreshed and reminded, God, or give us revelation on how important this is, all for the glory of the kingdom. Amen. Amen. Why do we need the Word of God? Why the pastors, ever since you started serving God, been telling you, pick up the book and read it? Let's look at a few scriptures here. First, we're going to look at what Paul says in the book of Ephesians. And Paul is speaking, and he reveals a secret here about the Word of God. And he's speaking in the context, the immediate context of husbands and wives. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. Now listen to verse 26. So that he, Jesus, might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the Word. Washing of water with the Word. God wants to sanctify us. How? By the washing of the Word of God. Okay, what does sanctify mean? It means to make holy. It means to purify. You're being purified. How? As you're in the Word of God. As you're in the Word of God. He gives this word picture of being washed by water. And then we have these words of Jesus. Jesus spoke. He says this is in a prayer, in a context of a prayer. He's praying for us in this moment. He says, sanctify them in the truth. What is truth? His word. Sanctify them. Purify them. How do they know the truth? It's in here. This is the truth. Okay? So he's saying this is what happens. As you put yourself in this place, you get washed. You know, everybody in this room got washed today. All right? We hope. Okay? Amen? We hope you got washed. See, but you get washed every day. Why? Because you get dirty. Because you get dirty. You know, there's many people in this room, you would not think of eating anything with your fingers without washing your hands. It's like, I would never do that, right? But so often we go on with life and not allowing God to wash our soul, right? It's like, come on, shouldn't we have the same urgency for our soul that we do for our stomach, right? I said, so catch this. So he's given us this great word picture. He's saying God wants to sanctify you. He wants to wash you. There's a washing that happens. I need washed every day in my soul. How about you? Right? I mean, John said it pretty clear in the first letter of John. He said, anybody who says they don't sin lies. And he was speaking to Christians. Okay, so if you say you don't sin, you lie, and the truth's not in you. Right? So I need washed every single day. I need washed. There are the things, if it's not the things I did, it's the things I should have done that I didn't. Right? If it's not the things I said, it's the things I thought. Okay? And there's a cleansing that needs to happen constantly. And so how does that happen? Well, as I open up the book, it does wash me. Okay? So that's one of the things that happens. As we read the Word of God, there is a purification that takes place. That's one of the reasons I need to read the book. I need to pick it up. And I need to, and again, there's an issue of study. We'll get more into that. You know, having raising five boys, it seems to be more with boys. We only had one girl, so our test study isn't as big as maybe yours is. But you know, when little boys are young and they'd get in a shower and get out like in 90 seconds, it was like, did you use soap? You know, let's get back in and this time use the soap, right? Listen, that's the way a lot of us approach, most Christians are approaching the Word of God. We're opening it, but we're not really applying it. We're not letting it clean us, right? Say ouch or amen, whichever fits for you, okay? Again, we have to allow the Word of God to wash us, that it can have its way, because we need cleanse. We need cleanse if I'm going to be transformed. Let's go forward here. Hebrews chapter 4, the writer says this, speaking of the Word of God. The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Really, I don't really like the way this is written, right? It's extremely, extremely graphic here. But I like that it begins here. It says the Word of God is active. It's active. It's energizing. The Word of God does something. Now, let's think about that in the opposite. Okay, what's the opposite of active? Inactive, right? Nothing, inertia. There's nothing happening. It says the Word of God is active. Now, one thing I know this. I know this from experience. If you are struggling in your walk and it's kind of boring and it's slow and it's not moving, you are not reading the Word of God. Because the Word of God will move inside of you. If you are a student of the word, it will change you. It will work inside of you. So again, think about your own life. And all of, for some of us serving God a long time even, there's this ebb and flow. Like, man, I'm doing good. And then it ebbed back like the tide left. When you're in the ebb place, you're not reading the word. I'm not as deep into the word of God. I'm not allowing this energy, this work of God to do something inside my soul. Anybody say amen?
Amen.
Right? Again, say, but man, when you're not doing well, you're not reading the word of God. You're not. You're not allowing that to get inside of you and do what God designed it to do. The word of God is energizing. It empowers me. It fills me with life, fills me with hope. And it says, and then it goes on to say that it's this piercing to the division of soul and spirit. That's like your mind and your spirit. I mean, the mind and spirit, your spirit and your psyche. It says, man, the word of God cuts. It cuts us. And it goes on even further then to say that even discerning the thoughts and intentions of your heart. You know, the word of God will reveal your heart to you as if you allow it. If you dare to be that vulnerable, the word of God will reveal its truth. It will reveal your own thoughts and your own wrong thinking to you. How many of you have had some wrong thinking this past week? Right? Yeah, man. Yeah. See, but if I'm in the word of God, it's doing a work inside of me that I need to allow him to have. So, you know, when I read the scripture and I see this thing, you know, a two-edged sword, I think of a surgeon. You know, the word of God does surgery on me. When I get in it, it cuts me open and it identifies things inside of me. If I allow it. If I allow it. If I allow it, it will happen. If I allow it, he'll get in there and he'll say, okay, I'm gonna find this. Allow me to dig around in here and find out why are you judgmental today? Why are you in fear today? Why are you angry today? Right? The word of God will do a work inside. Right? But it's surgical. You know, surgery isn't always fun, is it? Right? Is surgery ever fun? No. No. But see, but it yields something, doesn't it? It yields something good if we allow it, if we take it for what it is and allow it to truly get inside of us. It'll do more than just cleanse us, man. It will remove things from us. But you have to put the time in. Again, a couple months ago, we noticed I had a couple spots appearing on my body and on my face. And so we went to get them checked out. I found out I had cancer. I had cancer on the side of my face, you know, a little bit of skin cancer. So we went and got it removed, right? But I wouldn't know that if I didn't make the effort to go and investigate it. Okay, so often we Christians, we don't want to put the effort into opening up this book and let it identify and cut us. And so you continue in the exact same place, not set free, not walking in wholeness, right? Who does that hurt when you do that? Does it hurt God? No, it hurts you and it hurts the people around you. And let's not take away, it does hurt the family of God too, because we're all together. And as we walk in wholeness, the more whole I am, the more I can exhibit the life and love of God. So we gotta allow the word of God come into us. It washes us, it energizes us, and it does surgery. It does surgery. And again, many of us in here right now, we're saying, I need all three of those. I need a trifecta. Okay. I need washed, I need cleansed, I need energized, and I need to allow God to get inside. But it's up to you. No one's going to make you do it. It's completely up to you to make this happen. So God's desire is to transform us by his word. You know, I mean, even in my own story, and you know, my wife and I really got saved at the same time. you know, when we first got saved, there was initially a real desire to read the Bible. Because every time I opened it up, it was brand new. You know, when you don't know anything and you're reading stuff out of the New Testament, it's like, hey, this is really cool, right? But that wore off. That wore off. And reading the Bible became a labor. It became work. Came work, like, okay, I know I'm supposed to do this. I read this scripture, but it was work to read the word. And I'm here today in this time. I mean, I look forward to reading the Bible. I look forward to it. It speaks life to my soul. It truly does energize me. And I've found out that it's okay to let him cut me because he's on my side and wants my health. Right? It's okay to have him, as it says in Psalm 139, where David says, God, examine me. Know even my presumptuous sins. Tell me about the sin in my life I'm not even thinking about. It's good because he's on my side. I know that. And I can appreciate those things. But man, I wasn't that way. I mean, reading the Bible is like, okay, I got to get this done today. All right? But today, I look forward to it. See, you know you're in a healthy place when you say, I can't wait to open the book because I know it's going to be good, right? Some of you that are readers, you know, you have a good novel or a good book you're reading, you can't wait to get to it, right? Right? True? Any readers in here? Any people like you're like avid readers, like you read everything. Like you can't wait for that time to read, okay? We should have that for the Bible. Some of you, there's very few of us, but some of us are like, I can't wait to get to exercise. I can't wait to get to do that. Well, wouldn't it be cool if you had that for reading the Word of God? Okay? Wouldn't it be great to have? That's what the Word should be doing to you. Energizing. It's life. Okay? And so I'm telling you, you can get to that place. It can happen. That's where we want to get. You know, because here's the thing that we do catch too, as you can see here. See, so often we want God to change our circumstances. God doesn't want to change your circumstances. What's he want to change? Right? I'm the subject here, right? Not the circumstances. And see, the Word of God changes us. It transforms us. It's transforming here. It's transforming here. You say, but it's my spouse that needs transformed. Well, you know, what you're saying is absolutely true. But you know what else is true? You need transformed, amen? Every one of us, I need it. I need that constant transformation. I need to stay in here. Why? Because I get dirty every day, right? I get dirty. I get marked up every day. So I need to stay in this place to allow transformation to happen. But God isn't out necessarily to change your circumstance. He wants to change you. Right? Again, but what do we usually pray? God, deliver me from this situation. God's saying, but I want to work something into you. God has a bigger plan going on here. God has a bigger plan. Oh, praise God. So again, I want you to be in that place where you're excited about the Word of God, where it's like refreshing. That's when, again, I know you're walking in that revelation of the goodness of God and know who he is. Hallelujah. Okay, and listen, and this is why we do things like Growth Track. Like Growth Track comes up next Sunday night. It's from 5 to 8 p.m. It's at the North Braddock campus. And we do this three times a year. We only do it three times. You can have that next slide, please? Three times a year. Okay, and we have childcare. And you need to sign up for that childcare today. Okay, but why do we do this? Why? Because we want you to grow in the foundations of faith. Because if you don't have the foundation of faith, you will not be transformed. Okay, and there's a couple of these sessions operate talking about the Word of God and understanding the Word of God. Pastor Ben teaches one on how to study the Bible. Why? Because again, we got to be students here. Okay, we got to be students. One of the things that again, for me in growing in the Word of God, where I was doing it out of obedience, but then I found as I really started to study, I started to be set free. It started to come alive to me as I found out how the New Old Testament and the New Testament linked together and the truths that were being spoken and who they were being spoken to. You know, if you don't have a good study Bible, you need to get one. And I'm not confident that you know, many of us are just using like online Bible helps. I'm not confident that you're getting the depth of study that you could have with even just a in-your-hand study Bible that has those things chronological and right at your fingertips. I mean, I encourage you to get a good study Bible. You know, one of those fat ones, okay? Get a fat Bible. That's what I want you to get, a fat Bible, okay? And use the helps that are in it. Okay, again, why? Because I want to see you set free. But this is why we do Growth Track. This is why we do these things. Like, why? Because we want you to lay the foundations that'll bring transformation, that you will know the will of God. And you can walk in all the promises. That's why we do connection group. Okay, connection groups are still happening. The small groups are happening for the next several weeks. If you're not in one, get the connection point. They will speak to you and share with you all that is available there, all that's out there. So take advantage. 2 Timothy chapter 3, another scripture. Paul speaking again. Paul is speaking to Timothy. And he says, all scriptures, encouraging Timothy, all scriptures breathed out by God, profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, training in righteousness. Okay, so there's a lot of correction going on there, right? He's speaking. There's things God's doing inside of us. He's through the word of God saying, Timothy, this is what you need to do. All scripture is breathed out. He's talking about the Old Testament, really, because they didn't have a New Testament yet. Catch that. Right, some of us trying to say, like, you know, some people think, well, the Old Testament we don't need anymore. No, you still need it. I mean, Paul's telling Timothy, hey, when he talks about the Bible here, it's only the Old Testament. Right? There was nothing else. So he's saying this is good for you. Why? Because it's profitable for teaching. It teaches us. It corrects us. It trains us. Why? Look, verse 17. That the man of God may be complete, transformed into all that God has for you. Isn't that where you want to be? Man, that's where we want to be, right? And equipped for every good work. In other words, it's equipping you for your future, okay? Because one of the things that we're always going to be on guard against here in the Bridge City family is we're not just looking you to get healed just for you. Now, God wants you healed, but there's a greater purpose. There's a greater purpose. He wants to heal you. He wants you to be an excited son and daughter. And then he longs for you to carry this hope to others who need to hear it. That's the call of God. That's the call of the Lord, right? So he wants you equipped for what he's calling you to do in the future. That's what he wants. That's what he wants to see happen. See, now, one of the things that just, again, because this is something that's bigger in our culture than ever, and that is questioning the validity of the word of God. Okay, the validity of the word of God gets challenged. Because if you don't believe it's valid, why are you going to read it? And if you're not going to read it, if you're not going to think it's valid, why would you read it? I just want to take a look here. This is some words of Jesus. Words of Jesus here. And I want to make a point here. See, because one of the problems we have, I believe, in the culture right now, and even it's seeping into the church as you hear some people talk about deconstruction of their faith. You know, there are things that you're never going to understand in the Bible. Not this side of heaven. There's things that I look at that, and that's a head scratcher, right? But this is Jesus. Now, Jesus had just told people, he had a big crowd following him, and he said, unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no part in me. You know, and the people were having a problem with that. They're having a problem. Like, what do you mean? And Jesus would not give them a clear answer of what he was speaking about. He was speaking spiritually. So people were leaving. Droves of people were leaving. Okay, Jesus told them a truth. They didn't understand it. Jesus didn't make it clear, and they all left. All right? And so let's pick it up. Verse 60 of John 6. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it? But Jesus, conscious that his disciples grumbled at this, and he's talking about disciples. He's not just talking about the big crowd. He's talking about people that have been following him. Said to them, does this cause you to stumble? What then if you see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. Jesus adds to the confusion about the first statement by giving him another one. Verse 62. Oh, you think it's hard to eat my flesh and drink my blood? Well, how about if you just see me ascend to heaven? People had issues, and they were walking away. Okay, and again, go read the rest of the text. It's a great text to read. It'll speak life to you. But I just want you to catch a couple things here. Mainly, verse 63. Jesus said, "It's the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life." Okay, he's saying, "Look, these words I am saying are true. You don't understand them." But they're true. There are things spoken in the Word of God that we don't understand. There are things that happen in your life that you will never understand this side of heaven. That's reality. We got to understand and trust that Jesus is who he says he is. You know, Jesus also made very clear too, I don't want to take a lot of time with it, but he made very clear too, like the Old Testament was legitimate. Okay, I don't have this one on the screen, but Matthew 5:19, he says, therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teach others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom. Okay, he's talking about the Old Testament, the laws of the Old Testament. Say, anybody says these aren't worthwhile, there's a least. Okay, Jesus said the word is good, the word is profitable, the word is necessary. And he said, and of course, his words in the New Testament, this is truth. You don't understand it all. See, and we have to come to a place where we recognize, we accept that there are things I accept by faith. I read some Old Testament stuff. I'm like, I don't get what that's doing. I don't know what's up. But I know that God is good. I rest on that. How do you rectify that? I'll tell you how I rectify it myself. It's simple but profound. I look at what Jesus did 2,000 years ago. Jesus Christ laid down his life for Mark and for Channing and for Daryl. He laid down his life for us when we were still sinners. And for most of us, when we even first heard Jesus laid down his life, we didn't care. And he still laid down his life for us. And he rose from the dead, seen by many witnesses. See, when I see what God did 2,000 years ago, that act of love, I may not understand, I don't understand why there's people starving in North Korea, but don't tell me God's not good. He settled that for me 2,000 years ago. It's settled. Jesus Christ is a God of love. He is a God who cares. I believe God is good. And I believe that as I read these words, and him speaking of the Old Testament, I believe the Old Testament because of what Jesus said. I believe it. Again, why do we believe the story of Genesis? Because Jesus believed it. Why do I believe the story of Jonah, that crazy fish story? Who believed it? Jesus. Everything in our Christian faith revolves around Jesus. Keep it simple. It's profound when you allow it to sink in. I believe the word of God is true because I see Jesus validating the word of God. You know, not only that, listen, not only that. You know, there is accounts, millions and millions and millions of accounts of people transformed by this book and Jesus Christ. Millions. We could spend all afternoon, all of us sharing what Jesus Christ has done inside of us. Right? Listen, you know, you look around and many of us were newer. We don't know people around us. You have no idea how messed up the person was next to you before Jesus. Right? We could take all day just talking about, see, because now you see him on this side of the bridge. On the other side of the bridge, right, you wouldn't even like them, okay? But now they're all lovable, okay? Why? Because Jesus Christ transformed them. The word of God works. There is a testimony of the people around us. That means something to me. So I want to settle this decision of the validity of Jesus Christ. That next slide, the most important decision you ever make is determine what will be the ultimate authority in your life. What's going to be the ultimate authority for you? What's it going to be? Is it the word of God, or is it all these sidebars in life? James 1:23, James is writing. And he says, if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. He looks at himself, goes away at once, and forgets what he was like. But the one who looks in the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Okay, first I want you to catch this. It says, for if anyone, anyone, this is for anybody. Anybody, we can all be set free, but have the law of liberty in our lives. It's for anybody. It's not for someone who's lived a righteous life for a long time. It's for all of us. Okay, if we hear the word of God, if we hear the word of God and we do it, and we do these things. So if, as we look at this text, one thing we catch is that there's transformation and blessing will follow those who are intentionally engaged in the word. Again, we have to be intentional. There's an intentionality to it. You continue in the word. You persevere in the word of God, right? And you're obedient to do what it says. I'm being intentional. I'm being consistent. And I'm being obedient. I'm going to do what the word of God says. If we have those three things happening, the word is having its work inside of you. Now, most of us, our problem, honestly, if we have as much problem with intentionality and just continually reading, then we do obedience. We struggle with it. We struggle feeding ourselves the right thing. And my cry is that you would walk in obedience in doing what he has said. Be continual in your pursuit of God. Be intentional. That's why we talk about strategy. If you don't have a strategy to read the word of God and to be in it consistent, it will not happen. How do I know that? Because you've been serving God a long time and it still isn't happening. Right? You have a track record. You have a track record that the word of God is not being esteemed. You're not letting it wash you. You're not letting it energize you. Okay? And you're missing out. You're missing out. God wants you free. He longs for you to walk in a greater freedom than you could ever know in your life. So that's what he is speaking to us. See, God's plan is to transform you into the image of Jesus Christ. That's what he uses the word of God for. That next slide. So the Spirit of God uses the word of God to make us into the image of the Son of God. The Spirit of God uses the word of God to make you into the image of the Son of God. Remember, it's not just a better version of you. He said, I want to make you into the image of Jesus Christ. I want you to be that confident. I want you to be that self-assured. I want you to be that filled with peace. I want you to be that influential. I want you to be that powerful. That's what God wants for Kim. That's what he wants for Ryan. That's what he wants for us. That's his desire for you and for me, is that we would be those people, okay? So, as you're intentional, consistent, and obedient, you'll be washed clean, you're gonna be energized, you're gonna gain clarity, and he's gonna prepare you for your future. The question is, are you gonna be intentional and continual? And we're wondering how we're gonna hear the word of God, how we're gonna know the will of God. This is how. We're going to allow him to transform us. It's a slower process than we like. It isn't just going to be instantaneous. But you're willing for that challenge? Amen. Does this speak to you? Listen, so you need a plan. You need a plan. What are you going to do to get to this place where you're opening up this book every day? Quit selling yourself short and saying, well, I'm going to try to do it 4 days a week. Do you take a bath 4 days a week? No. Okay, well, wash your soul every day. Wash your soul. Okay, so what is the plan? What are you going to do? Last week we gave you the challenge. Find somebody that will tell you the last 10%. This week's challenge, what is your strategy to read the word? When are you going to do it during the day? Where is your escape place? Where is your secret place? Is it in your car, at lunch, at work? What is it? Where is your time? There needs to be a strategy or it's not going to happen. And you're going to continue cloudy in trying to discern the will of God. You're going to miss out on the freedom and the power and the influence he has for you. It's up to you. It's up to you. Let's walk in freedom. Let's all stand. Father, we come before you. And God, we thank you. We thank you again, God, for this word. It's living and active. And Father God, I pray, Lord Jesus, that again, even this morning, some of us did experience the energy of your word before we came here. And God, let them continue in that place. God, for the many, Lord, that we're not experiencing that on a regular basis. God, help us catch, Lord Jesus, that your word will wash us because we know we're dirty and we'll be sanctified and we'll be guilt-free. Your word will fill us with energy and life. Your word will clarify my daily life because I'll know your will. God, you long to do this. But I pray, God, we would see your word as refreshment, that we could speak like David. Oh, I love your law. It makes me wise. In Jesus' name, they all said, amen, amen. You may be seated for a moment. I'm going to turn this back.